ಕಂದಬ್ಬಾ ಗಿರಿವಾರದ್ದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚ ಯಮುನತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಅಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಅಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಸತ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾದ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶೀಲ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಂ ಕೀ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಸಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಆ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Satsvarupadas Goswami Tinamane Satsvarupayam Vande Vinitam Sarabhushanam Bhakti Granthananai Punyam Bhakti Vedanta Shikshatam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Ravinda Sarupa Dasiti Namine Guru Deva Divyadiya Ashastra Siddhanta Jade Prabhupada Bhakti Marga Rakshanaya Namostate Sri Sri Radha Madhava, they're always engaged in blissful loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. Krishna is the one who reciprocates love with the gopis, and he is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He is the son of Mother Yashoda and the attractive darling of all of Raja. He can always be seen playing in the garden groves on the banks of the Yamuna River. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna, O Vasudeva, O son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the fifth canto. We are in chapter 1. We are in text 38. This is a prose text, so there's no responsive chanting, as we've been doing for quite a number of days. It's a very long prose text. I'm going to read the Sanskrit prose to you, and then I'm going to read the translations and purports. We're going to skip the word for word. I hope that doesn't bother everybody. So here's the prose. Para Devata Prashada Digat Tatma Prayavar Marshe Nan Uparite Vyaha Putrebya Imam Yatadayam Vibhajya Buddha Bogam Cha Mahishim Mri Tankam Ivasaha Maha Vibhutam Apahayaswayam Nihitta Nirvedo Riddhi Grihitta Hari Viharana Bhavo Bhagavato Naradasya Padavim Punar Evanushash Aram. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrata awakened to his senses. He divided up all his earthly possessions among his obedient sons. He gave up everything, including his wife, with whom he enjoyed so much sense gratification, and his great and opulent kingdom, and he completely renounced all attachment. His heart, having been cleansed, became a place of pastimes for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he was able to return to the path of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and resume the position he had attained by the grace of the great saint Narada. Purport. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishastakam, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadava Ninirvarpanam, as soon as one's heart is cleansed, the blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. Our hearts are meant for the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one should be fully Krishna conscious, thinking of Krishna, as he himself advised, Man mana bhavamad bhakto ma jadi mam namaskaru. This should be our only business. One whose heart is not clean cannot think of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But if one can again But if one can, once again, place the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, he very easily becomes qualified to renounce material attachment. Mayavadi philosophers, the yogis and the gyanis, they try to give up this material world simply by saying, Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, this world is false. There's no use of it. Let us take to Brahman. Such theoretical knowledge will not help us. If we believe that Brahman is the real truth, we have to place within our hearts the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. As Maharaj Ambarish did, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. One has to fix the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. Thus he gets the strength to be freed from material entanglement. Maharaj Priyavrata was able to give up his opulent kingdom. And he also gave up the association of his beautiful wife as if she were a dead body. I love how Prabhupada makes things very practical. The next two sentences are very practical. Okay? However beautiful one's wife may be, and however attractive her bodily features may be, one is no longer interested in her when her body is dead. We praise a beautiful woman for her body, but the same body, when bereft of a spirit soul, is no longer interesting to any lusty man. Maharaj Priyavrata was so strong by the grace of the Lord that even though his beautiful wife was alive, he could give up her association exactly like one who is forced to give up the association of a dead wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam najandam nasundarim kavitava jagadish kamaye mama jamani jamanishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahoitaki twayi. Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. For one who desires to advance in spiritual life, attachment to material opulence and attachment to a beautiful wife are two great impediments. Such attachments are condemned even more than suicide. Therefore, anyone desiring to cross beyond material nescience must, by the grace of Krishna, be freed from attachment to women and money. When Maharaj Priyavrata became completely free from these attachments, he could again peacefully follow the principles instructed by the great sage Narada Muni. Translation is again, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrata reawakened to his senses. He divided up all his earthly possessions among his obedient sons. He gave up everything, including his wife, with whom he enjoyed so much sense gratification, and his great and opulent kingdom, and he completely renounced all attachments. His heart, having been cleansed, became a place of pastimes for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, as he was able to return to the path of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and resume the position he had attained by the grace of the great saint Ganatran Randasya, Ganam Ganashalapayapcha, Shirun Militanyena, Taishmaishi, Kule Swayam Rupa Kadavam, Tadati Swapadanti Kambandeham, Shi Guru, Shi Uta Parayam, Shi Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunath Tam Vitam Tam Sajiva Shadvaitam Shardhahutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rara Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jabhapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Rara Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishvanu Sutte Devi Pranamami Puri Vihe Vanchakapa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sukhubhye Vichapatitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adraita Gadarhara Shiva Sarigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So now that the atmosphere is sufficiently purified, I hope you're all ready to listen and to hear. The song goes, for those of you who are born in my generation, many of you might know this song. Showing my American samskaras again, please forgive me. I was born and raised in America. To everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to sow. There is a time that you may embrace. There is a time to refrain from embracing. So the deficiency of modern civilization, the deficiency of the modern materialistic way of life, where no Vedic knowledge is taught, that the time to refrain from embracing never comes. But in Vedic people in the modern age, religionists in the modern age, people who are outside the four varnas and the four ashrams, who have never heard of the four ashrams, they think, okay, this and that, this and that, this and that, but there's never should there be a time when I give up sense gratification with the opposite sex. This I should pursue. This is what will make me happy. This is the modern philosophy that one becomes happy by this process. One becomes satisfied by this process. One becomes fulfilled by this process. And therefore, it should never be given up. There's never a time to refrain from embracing. But in Vedic Shastra, in Varnashram Dharma, in our religion, the Hare Krishna religion, as taught by His grace, divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, there's lots of times when one should refrain from embracing. And there's only a very narrow time when one should embrace. In Vedic religion, in Varnashram Dharma, there are four ashrams. There's Brahmacharya Ashram. There's Grihastha Ashram. There's Vanaprastha Ashram. And there's sannyasa-ashram. And we should attempt in our life to try to go through these ashrams. We shouldn't discount them and just throw them away. So out of the four ashrams, there's three ashrams where one is three out of the four, where one is highly advised to refrain from embracing. That's the Brahmacharya ashram, the Vanaprastha ashram, and the Sannyasa ashram. And these ashrams should make up, should, if you're going to follow the Vedic proscription, three quarters of one's life. And another quarter of one's life should be spent, or traditionally is spent, in Grihastha ashram. And in the Grihastha ashram, there's also many, many times when one should refrain from embracing. And in the Grihastha ashram, it is enjoined in Shastra that one engages in sex, engages in the act of love making, only for the procreation of children, after due yajna is performed. Here we hear that Maharaj Priyavrata he gave up everything, including his wife, with whom he enjoyed so much sense gratification. This sense gratification doesn't mean party time with the wife. It means he enjoyed due sense gratification with his wife to produce children. He actually produced 10 children with his wife, Barishmati. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know why it's kind of interesting for me, but in the pastime, his second wife's name is never mentioned, which is kind of interesting. I don't know why they don't mention her name, but they mention that he also had three children and one daughter with the second wife. Three boys and one daughter. So he had 14 children. So when it says that he enjoyed so much sense gratification with his wife, it doesn't mean he went out and partied with her and enjoyed like that. It means he enjoyed the act of procreation with his wife to produce children. So, within the Vedic proscription for life, there is a strong thread that one runs through this prescription. And that thread is the thread of celibacy. It's the thread of sense control. And it's the thread of only using the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Lord Shri Krishna. I'd like to read to you I generally don't like when people are giving classes and they read. I think that people should speak. But I just love this verse in purport so much, because it cuts through the confusion. And this verse in purport that I'm going to read from you, please try not to be bored. Please open your mind and listen. I know it's not as exciting to hear someone read as it is to hear someone speak, but try to listen. Because I just really relish this this translation and this purport. It comes in the second chapter of the second canto. It comes in chapter 6 of the second canto, and it's in the section called Purusha Shukta Confirmed. And in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole jagat, the whole universe has been summarily explained, all the way from Pataloka, all the way up to Brahmaloka. And then after explaining the entire material universe in a condensed and concise form, comes this verse. Okay? Now listen very carefully. Padashtrayo bahish chashan aprajanam ya ashramaha antastri lokas twaparo grihamedo grihadrataha. This is the translation. The spiritual world. Now, he's just got finished explaining the whole material world. And this is the next verse this is Sukadeva Goswami's. The spiritual world, which consists of 3/4 of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world and is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows, they must live within the 3 material worlds. Okay, we'll say it again. The spiritual world, which consists of the 3/4 of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the 3 material worlds. You want the booby prize? The booby prize is life in the material world. You want the booby prize? The booby prize is the prize that goes to people who don't attain the real prize, the booby prize, it's called. Then give up your celibacy vows. You want to stay here in the material world, life after life, birth after birth. It's very easy. It's not hard. Give up your celibacy vows. And if, by chance, you want to get out of the material world and you're sick of this place and you're tired of it, and you're tired of being dragged from body to body to body to body to body to body to body, ad infinitum without end. If you happen to be sick of that, then follow your celibacy vows. Okay? So let's hear the purport. So let's hear the purport. The climax. The climax of the system of Vanaharsana Dharma. Now we're hearing the climax of the system. The climax of Vanaharsana Dharma. So what is the climax of the system of Vanaharsana Dharma or Sanatana Dharma is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse. The highest benefit. The highest that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex. Particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditional life of material existence continues birth after birth. We are in a prison house. And the bars on the prison house are not the bars of steel. The bars on the prison house What keeps us here in the material world, in body, is this attachment to sex. I know it's tough. I don't like it either. I'm just reading what Prabhupada says. Don't blame the messenger. Okay? I'm just reading what Prabhupada says. There's nothing here that's not straight. So, a human civilization in which there is no control of sex life is a fourth class civilization. Because in such an atmosphere, there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are related to the material body, and they have nothing to do with the spiritual soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, every single movie there's a love affair. Every single movie, there's a heroine, there's a hero. They fall in love with each other. They walk off into the sunset, or whatever happens, This is the way to happiness. This is the way to happiness. It's wrong. It's a fallacy. It's not the way. But we have been brainwashed by a fourth class civilization to believe that this is the way of happiness, that this is going to make us happy. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the law of deterioration. In order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Vanashram system trains the follower. That's us. We're the followers of the Vanashram system, just in case you didn't know. Okay, that's us. We should follow this system. From the age of, 0 to the age of 21 should be a brahmachari. From the age of 20 to the age of 50, one should be a grihasa. From the age of 50 to the age of 65 or 70, one should be a vanaprastha, and then one should be a sannyasa. People aren't doing it. They're avoiding it. So in order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Vanashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy. Beginning from the order of brahmachari, the brahmachari life is for students who are educated to strictly follow the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have had no taste of sex life can very easily follow the vow of celibacy. And once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of the three-fourths energy of the Lord. It has been already explained that in the cosmos of the three-fourths energy of the Lord, there is neither death nor fear, and one is full of the blissful life of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of the life of a brahmacharya. A householder is recommended. It's recommended to quit home at the end of 50 years. And he should live a life in the forest. Then, being fully detached from family and affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi and fully engage himself in the service of the Lord. Any form of religious principles, in which the, this is a beautiful sentence, any form of religious principle in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being. Because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. The principle of nirvana is recommended by Lord Buddha are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process in the highest degree is recommended here in Srimad Bhagavatam with clear perception of the ideal perfection. Although basically there is no difference between the process of the Buddhists, the Shankarites, and the Vaishnavites, all of them strongly suggest celibacy. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearlessness, not one of these processes allows to followers to break the vow of celibacy. The householders and other persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The highest power householders or the fallen yogis or the fallen transcendentalists can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world, the 1/4 energy of the Lord, but they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. Abritta Vratas are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The Vana Prastas are those retired from family life, and the Sannyasis are the renounced persons. They cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The Brahmacharis, Vana Prastas, Sannyasis, they do not intend to take rebirth, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex. Such a fall down by the spiritualist may be compensated by another chance for human life in good families of learned brahmanas or of rich merchants for another term of elevation. But the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. Otherwise, the whole policy of human life will prove to be a total failure. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in advising his followers in the matter of celibacy. One of his personal attendants, Chota Haridas, was severely punished by Lord Chaitanya because of his failure to observe the vow of celibacy. For a transcendentalist, therefore, who at all wants to be promoted to the kingdom beyond material miseries, it is worse than suicide to deliberately indulge in sex life, especially if one is in the renounced order of life. Sex life in the renounced order of life is the most perverted form of religious life, and such a misguided person can only be saved if by chance he meets a pure devotee. So, pretty powerful stuff, huh? Does anybody think that's powerful? What time do we have? Say 4. Okay. Okay, there's different ways I can go. So I'll go in this direction. That Mara Priyavada, in this pastime, by the way, I just want to say that I was discussing this pastime with a devotee friend of mine, and he looked in the portfolio, which I can't do because I'm computer illiterate, and he told me that Prabhupada never once spoke on this chapter, 5.1, chapter, 5th canto, chapter 1. Prabhupada never spoke once on this chapter. In all of his lecturing, he never spoke once on this chapter. But I want to go into a different direction now. And what I want to say is that this pastime is not simply about the pros and cons of the Grihastha ashram versus the pros and cons of the sannyas, vanaprastha, and brahmacharya ashram. This is not what this pastime is about. In the very beginning of the pastime, we're on verse number 38. In the very beginning of this pastime, Maharaj Pariksit is asking the question, how could Maharaj Priyavrata, who was a self-realized soul, enter into household life? Here's what he says. O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of bondage of karma, and which defeats the mission of human life? Devotees are certainly liberated persons, therefore are greatest of the Brahmins. They cannot be possibly absorbed in family affairs. Elevated Mahatmas who take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members. And in these purports to these verses, Prabhupada pushes renunciation, 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 renunciation. This is text 1, 2, 3, and 4. But then, very, very quickly, a little bit further, we have Lord Brahma speaking. Okay? And there, even if one goes to forest, one is not self-controlled, must always fear material bondage. Because he is living with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Even household life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied, learned man who has conquered his senses. So Lord Brahma is very, very heavily instructing that Maharaj Priyavrata should enter into household life. And there is no harm in this endeavor. And so therefore, if you take just these purports when Lord Brahma is speaking, and you take the translations in the purports where Lord Brahma is speaking, you would assume that what we should be doing as members of the Krishna conscious movement is we should all be pairing up, we should all be getting married, we should all be having children, and this is what a Krishna conscious person should do. Now, if you read the purports at the very beginning of the pastime, you would think that no, never should a person. We should all not enter into the household of ashram. We should all not get involved with the opposite sex, and we should all stay celibate, and that's the path we should pursue. And now, if you're coming to the very end of the pastime, then the opposite thing is said again. So, is anyone confused? So what is this pastime about? Is it about the pros and cons of the Grihastha ashram versus the sannyas ashram or the vanaprastha ashram? I say it's not. Even though Prabhupada never spoke on this particular pastime. I think that what this pastime is truly about is it's about poshana. Poshana means protection. Okay. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list of the 10 what's called the Das Mula, the root teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a verse, and it goes like this: Artha Shargo Visargascha Stanam Poshanam. Poshana means protection. The Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the things it teaches is how to be protected by God. very good thing to know. Generally speaking, the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the Poshana canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the story of Ajami. But here, but still, this threat of Poshanam, protection by the Lord, is there throughout the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Atar Sargo Visharasya Stanam Poshanam Uttaya Manvantaresh Anukata Niroda Muktir Ashraya. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following. So these are, this is the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The creation of the universe, the sub-creation, the planetary systems, the protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manu, the science of God, returning home, back to God, and liberation in the Sanam Bonam. So this pastime is not about the glories of the Grihastha Ashram versus the glories of the renounced ashrams. What this pastime is about is protection. This protection comes in the form of following the authority. The authority in this case is Lord Brahma, and the authority in this case is Narada Muni. And Priyavrata, he followed the authority, and therefore he's going to be protected. He's going to be protected by falling in Maya and not coming out of it. What is happening now here in this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this verse, is spontaneous attraction to renunciation is arising in the heart of Maharaj Priyavrata. Causeless. Causeless attraction for renunciation is arising in his heart. But is it causeless? Okay? Maharaj Priyavrata in this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is on a roll. You know what it means to be on a roll in material life? Have anybody been on a roll in material life? Huh? When everything's going good, the wife is in the controls, she's helping you, the children are great, going great, you know, the household is going great, the money's flowing in. Anybody ever been on a roll in material life? Raise your hand if anybody's ever been on a roll in material life. Yeah, you have. You have. I have. So Maharaj Priyavrata is on a roll. He has a beautiful wife. He has 10 sons. 3 of them have become Paramahamsas. 7 of them are going to take over the different islands that he created in his great engineering project of putting a sun in the second sun in the sky. He's got another 3 sons by his unnamed wife, who we don't even know who she is. Those 3 sons are going to become Manus. He's got a daughter who's going to marry Sukacharya, the spiritual master of the demigods. Maharaj Priyavrata is on a roll like nobody's ever been on a roll before. We can't even imagine such a roll, such a materialistic fortune happening in our life. But in the middle of this materialistic fortune happening in his life, all of a sudden, within his heart, causelessly, he starts to think about renunciation. Why? He starts to think about going back to his pre-roll. Why? And the answer to that question, because we're almost out of time, is simple. And I will read this verse. I read it last time when I gave class, but it's a wonderful verse. Please open your ears. This is Judd Bharat talking to Maharaj Rahugana. And it's a very, very interesting verse. So please listen. He says, Rahu ganaita tapasa nayati na chejaya nirvapana grihadva na chandasya naiva jaladni suryair vinat mahapada rajo vishekam. I would go through the word for word, but we're running out of time. So I'm just going to go right to the translation. So, in this verse by Maharaj Rahu, Jadabharat spoken to Maharaj Rahuganath, it says the following. One cannot realize the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, simply by observing celibacy vows brahmacharya. One cannot realize the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, by strictly following the rules and regulation of household life. One cannot realize the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, by leaving home as a vanaprastha and going to the forest. One cannot realize the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, by accepting sannyas. Nor can one realize the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, by undergoing severe penances in winter, by keeping oneself submerged in water, by surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. And there are many other processes to understand the absolute truth. But, and this is the big but, the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a devotee. Therefore, my dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. So, what is the potion on? What is the protection here that is given to Maharaj Priyavrata? The protection is that he followed superior authority. And therefore, even though he is on a materialistic role that we cannot even begin to imagine, the fortune of Maharaj Priyavrata's materialistic life, still, by the grace of Guru, by the grace of the sadhus, by getting the dust of the lotus feet of the pure Vaishnava just doesn't, it means actually the dust. But it doesn't only mean that. It means the dust means to follow the instruction. This is also the dust of the spree, of the pure devotee. So, therefore, I am asking to end my class. I am asking all the devotees to please just think kindly of me. I know I'm something of a jerk. Okay? And I know I have a bitter edge to me. Huh? I know the deficiencies of my character. But I'm asking the devotees to please overlook my deficiencies and just give me the dust from the lotus feet. Okay, so we'll stop here. You can form a line right here. I'll put my hand up. Okay. Okay? All right, so we'll stop there. This is not a joke. We're not going to pious our way back to God. God doesn't care. He's seen so many pious people that make it. Just think of Lord Brahma. We can't do it. We're not pious enough here in Kali Yuga. We're not going to tapasya our way back to Godhead. Forget it. Look at me. Look at you. Look at me. I'm not going to tapasya my way back to Godhead. Forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to gan myself back to Godhead. People think, oh, Gitanagari Das, he's a scholar because he knows 300 verses. Oh, he's a scholar. He knows 300 verses. Big deal. Start getting into the Bhagavatam and see how many verses you want to learn. Start getting into Bhagavad Gita. We're not going to gan ourselves back to we're not going to yoga ourselves. Forget it. We are made of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Starting with Srila Prabhupada and coming down through every Vaishnava who follows. Krishneti yasya giritam manasa duryaita dashakshi ches pranata bhischa vajanamichu shushru shraya vajana vigyam ananyam anyam dinadi sunyam ritam sita manga sangalabcha. One should offer mental respect to any devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord. If you see a devotee and he's chanting the holy name of the Lord, I don't care whether you like him or you don't like him, or he's this or he's that. If he's chanting the holy name of the Lord, he is a good man. She is a good lady. And you should respect them. One should offer one's obeisances to a devotee who's taken brahminical initiation and he's engaging himself in worshipping the deity. The pujari should be especially honored. And then one should associate and faithfully serve the pure devotees who are advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose hearts are completely free from the propensity to criticize others. Okay. Is that good enough? Hare Krishna. Anyone wants to ask a question, they can. Anyone who wants to go can. If there aren't any questions, we'll end here. Okay, go ahead. The dust, the mud from the Ganges, that's a very wonderful thing to do. Okay. Mother Ganga is a great devotee, and we should take her dust whenever we can. Okay. All right. I hope I didn't insult anybody. I hope I didn't upset anybody. Hare Krishna.